last sermon in the summer-long series that we have looked at the book of Daniel. Daniel and his friends at the first six chapters lived faithfully as exiles in a foreign, idolatry-ridden culture. And they chose obedience over comfort and recognition and compromise. They resisted assimilation into the Babylonian life, refusing to eat defiled food or to bow to idols, even under the threat of death. And God honored their courage with protection and promotion. And then we saw the book transition from narrative to prophetic vision, foretelling future kingdoms like Persia and Greece and Rome, but also giving us a framework that followers of God can put over every generation to see that the kingdoms of this world will soon fall. And God remains the only king of the universe. The visions in Daniel serve not as riddles, but as encouragement, showing that God is sovereign over empires and history, and that evil will ultimately fall. And these lessons have called us as believers to stand firm and to live distinctively and differently, and trust that even when things look bleak, that the Most High still rules in the kingdom of men. And today we're going to wrap up the book with the final chapter of Daniel. If you want to turn there, you can also open your Clarksburg Baptist Church app, and all the verses will be there as well as on the screen. We'll be in the last chapter of Daniel. But the book of Daniel is a book of longings. These exiles and strangers in Babylon are longing to go back home to Israel, but also longing for that first coming of the Messiah, for things to change. But for us, we can take a lot from Daniel as we long for the second coming of Christ, when Christ returns to finish what he started and make all things new. So today we'll wrap this up, and as Daniel will talk about that time that we're still looking forward to, the end of the world as we know it. How do y'all feel? I feel fine about it, right? Verse 1, Daniel chapter 12. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Whenever a chapter starts with "at that time," you have to look back, because the chapter and verse distinctions were not in the original writing. Those are simply there for our ease of access, so we can all turn to the same chapter and verse. And so, like we've said before, chapter 10 started with this uncovering of spiritual warfare behind the scenes with the angel Michael and Gabriel versus the supernatural prince of Persia and the prince of Greece that opposed them. And God's heavenly messengers have something to tell Daniel about the end of the world. So chapter 12 is continuing that message. And they've also been talking about this future person of evil that in the New Testament it calls the Antichrist, or the man of lawlessness. So chapter 12 starts with saying that the world is not getting better and better. In fact, at the end, there's going to be a time of trouble like never before. Now, we remember that the Old Testament book of Daniel and the New Testament book of Revelation are connected. And the book of Revelation talks about this time as well in Revelation chapter 12. In verse 7, it says, "Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." And I heard a voice in heaven say, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of Christ has come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. This picture of the great defeat of the world and the flesh and the devil, the great dragon and his angels are defeated and destroyed by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And ultimately, this is what Jesus was looking forward to when he said, "It is finished," on the cross. Revelation goes on to talk about the beasts and the horns that Daniel talked about. And both Daniel and Revelation tell us all existence is building toward this troubled time. But we do not fear because God has a plan and he is in control. So back in Daniel 12, we read the verse where it said that at this time, many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. And man, doesn't that sound a lot like today? Somehow with all the inventions that we have to save time, microwaves and airplanes and Google Maps and instant communication and AI, and somehow we're still busier and more frantic than we ever have been. And our increase in knowledge and technology have not made our lives more peaceful or fulfilling. Existence is building towards a reckoning. And Jesus talks a lot about this coming time of trouble at the end of the age as well, and he calls it the tribulation. In Matthew chapter 24, this is where Jesus talks a lot about this time. In verse 3, it says, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be a sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name and say, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, so that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And all these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to the tribulation and put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Daniel calls this time a time of trouble. Here, Jesus calls it the tribulation and the end. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 18, John the Revelator calls it the fall of Babylon. He's calling our minds back to this time of exile. When Daniel and his friends were taken from their land and these pagan people mocked God and taking the vessels out of the temple in Jerusalem to worship and toast praises to their false god. Babylon tries to make God's people bow before idols and kneel before these kings who think they will never be humbled. Revelation 18:10, this is where John talks about it when he says, alas, alas, you great city, you mighty city, Babylon, for in a single hour your judgment has come. Now, in the time of John, Babylon was far in the past, but he's drawing a picture from that time in Israel's history to how things will be once again. The evil empires and systems of this world will come crashing down. So we see in Daniel and Revelation that the end of time is coming. But for followers of God, the end is not the end. Remember, apocalyptic literature like these two books are about an unveiling, a pulling back of the curtain of what's going on behind the scenes. Jesus in Matthew 24 that we just read goes on and tells what will happen in that day in verse 29. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man. And then all the tribes of earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. We see in this passage, Jesus mentions four winds and tribulation and the Son of Man coming and conquering. And Jesus is hearkening back to the book of Daniel in chapter 7. Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar and Darius and Cyrus have all learned who is really in charge. In this day, the Son of Man will come in power and glory. And the message will go out from one end of the earth to another, that the Most High rules in the kingdom of man. But we don't have to fear. Back in Daniel 12, the angel told Daniel that in this time of trouble, there is a people who will be delivered, those whose name is written in the book of life. But what does that mean? Well, in Revelation, John tells us more about this in verse 3 of chapter 3. John says, "Remember then what you received," or there's the angel speaking to John, "what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at an hour I will come against you." At what hour? "Yet you will still have a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." The book of life is where the names of those who have put their faith in Jesus reside. Followers of Jesus that have repented of their sin and put their trust in Jesus don't have to worry about the end, because our names will never be erased from the book of life. Some of you probably have an old family Bible with a family tree in the back. And when we accept the gift of salvation, we are sons and daughters of the King. We're in the family, and he will never cast us out. We're in the family book. And the book of Daniel has been all about how to stand against the pressures of this world, the world that doesn't follow God. And these pressures are to do things that God says are bad for us, to bow to things that aren't him. And it may feel like we're faced with the dangers of this world, dangers like a fiery furnace or a lion's den, but here we see that God has not forgotten us. So keep believing and keep obeying, because he will not forget us in the end either. This world is evil and beastly when it rejects God's rule and reign. But one day, God will confront the beast and rescue his people and redeem all creation back to how it was at the beginning. Neither the book of Daniel nor the book of Revelation pull any punches. They don't paint a rosy picture of the world. Hey, life is hard, harder times are coming, and it would be nice if following Jesus meant you never had to struggle with finances or health or pressure and temptation, but things are getting worse, not better. That is, until the Son of Man comes on the clouds in power and in glory, and then it's all better from there, baby. It's only gonna get better. So we don't have to shake in our boots today. Be prepared. Don't fall asleep. Don't become comfortable or complacent. That day is closer now than it's ever been. Watch and wait for that glorious day. Back to Jesus in the book of Matthew in chapter 24 once again in verse 42. This is Jesus' challenge after telling them all these things that are going to happen. He says, "Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." We don't know when, but we can have hope. When the world seems filled with war and violence and sickness and death, just know that it won't be forever. We can have hope. There will be a day where there is no more pain and no more tears. The book of Daniel is wonderfully relevant for us today. And when you feel the pressure to fit in and to conform and to bow down, we are reminded that all of this is temporary. In Daniel chapter 12, the angel told Daniel that on that day, the followers of God, both alive and dead, will be gathered together to take part in everlasting life. For Christians, death is not the end. Paul said, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Because of what we know, we don't have to fear death. And that's not just for us, but also for our believing loved ones that have passed on. You will see them again. We will be together. And we don't know when the end is coming, but we do know that it is coming. And we can certainly hold on until then. Through prophecy like Daniel and Revelation and the words of Jesus, we get to read the last pages of history before it happens. And you could spend a year talking all through all these things in the book of Daniel. But the angel starts to wrap up his message in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 8. First, Daniel says something that is very understandable to me. He says, I heard, but I did not understand. And then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. There's something so comforting in seeing that Daniel was confused about this stuff as well. I heard, but I didn't understand. Story of my life. And you don't have to get all down on yourself if you read through scriptures like this and you don't feel like you caught everything. It's okay. Keep reading. Keep allowing God to open your eyes to things that he is doing. Next, the angel ends up reiterating some of his message from before, that there are those that are wise and those that are wicked, and that one day God will separate them once and for all. And the wise are those that obey and follow him, and vice versa. So this passage, like here in Daniel, should comfort us, but also should motivate us to tell as many people that we can about what Jesus did for them. It's great that we don't have to fear the future, but if we love our neighbor, we will tell them about Jesus. Because this world is not getting better and better. It says at the end that many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase, but there is no hope in busyness and advancement. Those things are feeble and weak. But the book of Daniel tells us there is something that we can build our life upon. The kingdom of God, which is set apart from the things of this world. The angel at the end tells Daniel to seal all this up and to keep it until it's needed. Go your way till the end. But on that day, he wanted them to know that they would have a place. He wanted us to know that we would have a place of rest that we can stand in, that we don't have to fear. The book of Daniel is amazing. Daniel and his friends were trying to be good citizens, but they also knew that all of this was temporary. This is just where they lived right now. And that one day in the future, every empire will fall at the feet of King Jesus. And until then, we're just strangers. And that's okay, because that's right where we are meant to be. God's people can live faithfully in a hostile world. We can resist compromise. We can trust in God's sovereignty over evil and empires. We can be different. You don't have to look out into this world and say, where am I going to fit in? You don't have to look out and say, well, these people are talking about this, these people are talking about that, and I need to figure out which one I want to be. No, there's a third way. You're a stranger, a pilgrim, a foreigner in this world. You're a citizen of heaven. And you do not have to look out into this world and say, I've got to be one of these or one of those. You can say, I'm a follower of Jesus. And I'm going to do my best to live out this book in this world while it's still here. Because one day it's all going to pass away. And I'm going to live for the next life. And I'm going to live in a way that draws more and more people to Jesus. Not so that I can fit in, and not so that I can assimilate, but that I might stand out and show a little bit of what Jesus did on this earth. To love my neighbor, and to forgive radically, and to care about people that can never do anything for me. To stand out like the kingdom of God and rush it into this world. His kingdom come, his will be done. We can live faithfully in a hostile world. We find hope in the promise that despite coming troubles, Christ will return, evil will be defeated, and the faithful will be delivered. Because of the cross, we can know that eternal life with God awaits all those whose name are written in the book of life. Think about the future end is confusing, but it isn't scary. It will be a time of great rejoicing, where every nation and tongue and tribe will stand before God and recognize once and for all who he is. And all worship and honor and praise will be to him. There is coming a great party, a great feast, a celebration to tell God who he is, how good he is, and how worthy he is, and how holy he is, and how awesome he is. And the wonderful thing about that day is that is what you were made for. That's our purpose, to give glory and honor to God. But we don't have to wait until then to start the celebration. We can do what we are made to do right now. The band's going to come, and we're going to sing a song that's based on these words from the book of Revelation. And we're going to do this morning what you were made to do, to lift up the name of the King of the universe, and to remember in this moment and in this time and in this place that there's another day, that an end is coming, that all this temporary pain and hurt and struggle will be in the past. And we get to be with the one that made us. And we'll have a new heaven and a new earth and a new body, amen? How many of y'all got a body that's broken down? Come on. How many of y'all got problems? How many of y'all got relationship issues? How many of y'all got baggage and guilt and shame from your past? It's all going to be gone. And we're going to see him for who he is. And the Bible says that when we see him, we will be like him. Doesn't make sense to me, but I do know this, I'm ready for it. And the older I get, and the more I see this world continue to choose itself over God, the more I'm ready for it. There's coming a day when no sorrow shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. We're going to sing about that day when we get to use our tongue for what it was made for. To give worth and honor and glory to the King of Kings. To say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. So let's experience a little bit of heaven this morning. Let's experience a little bit of the rule of the King of the universe, and to bow before his throne today.